Well, good morning. I think it's about time to get started. Appreciate everyone being here this morning. Hope everyone's doing well. There's challenges each week to overcome, and so appreciate everybody being here, and hope that physically everyone's doing well. It's good to see everybody here. Before we get started, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for all that you do for us, and we're thankful for this time that we have to gather here. Father, we thank you for how you bless us, and help us to always have a mind of gratitude, Father. There's always things that are challenging in life, and we know that if we focus on you, that you'll help us through those things. But help us to focus on your love and your grace, your mercy, your guidance, your wisdom, Father, that you give us by having each other and through your word. We pray that you would be with the congregation here in Sanford and help us to grow, help us to love one another, to support one another, to encourage each other to good works. Help us, Father, to always be unified in truth. And we thank you for this time that we have together. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Okay. So this starts a new quarter. It was, I don't know, actually several months ago, I was thinking about whenever I would teach again, what might I want to teach on and study together. And I'm not sure why, but kind of unity came to mind. And I thought, you know, I don't know the last time I've really heard a class on unity, and I'd like to study it personally, myself, and what does that really mean, particularly in the context of the church. And then I had no idea, but you know, in the last month or so, particularly in the last 3 weeks, there's been a lot of talk in the country about unity, or a lack of unity, and didn't know that that was going to be so prevalent. But it will, we're certainly not going to get into politics and everything fully in the world today. We will talk about what's going on in the world a little bit as examples. But I do think that, you know, it's important to think about what unity is and what that looks like in the church and what our role or responsibility is in that regard. As I mentioned, we certainly heard unity is a theme in the inaugural address by our president, Joe Biden. We know that our country is what? The United States, right, of America. And, you know, sometimes you think, well, what does that really mean, the United States of America? And are the states united? How are we united? When you think about unity, what do you think of? What would your definition of unity be? Okay, togetherness. Other thoughts? When you think about something that's unified, it's together. I'm sorry? A common goal? Okay. When like-minded? Yeah. Can things be... So unity could be, in some contexts, right, things that are physically together. They're moving together. They're kind of unified. They're in unison. Can things be physically together and not be unified? Like, what are examples of that? Your car engine? Okay, so The pieces are there, but they're not always working together like they should. Okay? All right. So we don't want to bring up PTSD for any of you parents, but you know, there's times when the kids are rough and you don't make me come back there, right? You spin around and so they're physically together. But being physically together, it could be, in some context, unity. But it's often more, you know, than that as well. Okay. One definition, and you can Google, right? That's what we do now. The state. Now, I always thought you weren't supposed to use the word in the definition, but this one, I left it just because they did that. It's a definition of unity is the state of being united or joined as a whole. Oneness of mind, I think that's what Cy was stating. So oneness of mind or feeling is among a number of persons. Harmony or agreement. Right? So you think of, you kind of get a feeling of connectedness. Okay, how so? Okay. Yeah, so Jody was saying, for those online, that you know, a perfect example of that is the Trinity, right? And that they're different, but they're aligned in purpose, in goal. And so that's certainly a great example. There's a way that we can sing, right? For those who are singers, sometimes we can sing in what? There's a word that's close to unity. In unison. Right? What does that mean, to sing in unison? As one, right? And we sing, when you sing in unison, people, they typically, it's a part in the song where they sing the same notes. Right? So they're all right together, in time, the same notes. It's they're not singing complementary notes or harmony, even though harmony is a type of unison. Harmony, what's the difference maybe between harmony when you think about it from a musical perspective in unison? Yeah, so everyone's doing their own part, but they're not all doing the exact same thing, right? Unison, you're doing the exact same thing. We're singing the same notes, the same timing. We're singing at the same time. It is in unison. Harmony, they're complementary. They're still together. You know, someone's not off just singing some crazy, you know, but it's complementary. It's supplemental. Everybody brings something just a little bit different, but it works. Right? And so harmony is kind of like a type of unity. You can have people who aren't singing in unison, and they're not singing in harmony either. Right? So there's unison, there's harmony, then there's everything else. Okay? So when you think about outside the church for a moment, because we're going to spend most of the quarter thinking about unity in the church, and not just unity in the church, but even what discord looks like. We'll end up taking, my goal is to take some examples. We'll look through the Old Testament, we'll look through the New Testament, we'll dissect it a little bit and understand how things go from unity to discord. And we'll look at all that, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. But before that, when you think about outside the church, where is it important to have unity? in the workplace. Okay, it's nice to have unity in the workplace. The home, okay. And when you say the home, what are you thinking of? There's the home general, and then there's sub-parts of the home, right? So maybe it's the home usually starts with what? A marriage, right? Because there's a marriage within the home if you have kids, right? So it's nice to have unity among all of that. And then it's nice to have unity within the marriage, and then with the marriage and everyone else. What else? What are other examples? Okay, sports teams. So, you know, today's the Super Bowl, if you haven't heard, for those of you who are follow sports at all. And it will be interesting to see. Have you ever seen on a sports team where there isn't unity? And when does that pop up sometimes? Okay, so sometimes there's a miscommunication in the play, whatever that sport might be, and they're not connected, right? They weren't in harmony, right? Each one doing their own part, but they weren't connected. So there could be a misunderstanding of the mission or how to execute on the mission. How else, or when else might there be a lack of unity even on a sports team? Like, when would that pop up? Say more. Like, what do you mean? Okay, sometimes there's differences of opinion. So sometimes what happens is people get emotional. Have you ever seen players get emotional? And they stomp around and they think it's the other person's fault, right? And you'll start to see it play out in that way on a sports team. Yeah. Or when there's a loss. Okay, so after a loss, sometimes they start blaming each other. I'm going to repeat some of this for people who are online, so apologies. I actually, not that I just love to hear myself talk over and over and repeat everything everyone says. Okay, so what else? So sports teams, that was a great. Okay, so sometimes there's a struggle for leadership, right? People don't want to accept the role that they're given on a team. And they want to kind of fight for the power, and it can cause friction. Were you going to say something, Simon? One person trying to do too much, right? And sometimes it's not with the best intent, and sometimes even with the best intent, doing too much or over-functioning can cause problems in unity, right? That the team doesn't work as well, you know? There you go. So, it's, you know, what are we gonna say around the Thanksgiving table and, you know, we got family coming. So family, extended family, is exactly what I had as one example, right? So extended family is another place kind of outside the church where unity is important, right? It's important. It's nice to have. And we know that we don't all have unity with extended family. It can be uncomfortable, difficult at times. Where else is unity outside the church? Okay. Okay. Okay, so definitely, you know, not elephant in the room, but elephant in the country, right, is from a government perspective, right, it's important to have unity. And we'll get into this, not around the government so much, but when we look at the church, we're supposed to be the United States of America. And we'll find out that united doesn't mean that we all are robots and we think exactly the same thing and we're all completely aligned on every issue. But what happens is that when we're not united within, and it gets so bad, right, that we lose sight of the bigger picture as a country, which is the world, right? We're to be united together, that our enemy shouldn't be within, and not that we're looking for an enemy. But it distracts, right? And even within the church at some point, we get so focused on internal issues that we start to lose the mission. So we talked about that mission is one of the things that unites us, right? When there's unity, whether it's a country or whether it's the church, you unify and you rally around the mission. And when you're, you know, divided inside, you start to, your focus isn't in the right place and you lose sight of what's going on around you, okay? Any others outside the church? Oh, military was mentioned. Okay, I mean, think about the military. How many have been in the military? Okay, a few, right? I've not been in the military, so correct me if I'm wrong. But I'm almost an expert because I've watched a lot of movies. My guess is that kind of when you're told to go left, they're not real excited when you just run off to the right, okay? There was a plan. There was a plan there. And you have to work together to accomplish the mission. I mean, can you imagine being a Navy SEAL and some of the complicated missions that they run? And I don't think that they're probably a real fan of someone just changing the plan in the middle of the mission. They're expecting you to execute your role. And when we all execute our role, it gives us the best chance of success. And so you want to see coordination. You want to see harmony. You want to see unity in our military. And that's why, supposedly, while everybody has their own view, our military as a country isn't supposed to be political. It's supposed to be apolitical. And regardless of where you come from, regardless of, you know, your background, your belief system, that when you put on our uniform, right, we work together, right, we're united. And those are all kind of lessons when we think about the church. And, you know, as we come together in the church, you think about who is the church. And we'll talk about that. Where do individuals of the church come from? We come from all over the place. We come with all different beliefs. We come with all different understandings. We come with all different backgrounds. Right? But we come together under a mission. And we'll talk about that at some point. One of Sandy and I's favorites, you know, the great Homeowners Association. Okay, for those of you who have an HOA and want to jump off a cliff, you talk about people who have opinions and can't get along about what color or how tall the tree is in your front yard or what color your mailbox is. So we have one of those. And, people make that a full-time job. And it'd be nice when you have unity. We have people that are suing each other and suing the Homeowners Association. And, you know, it's like, wow, this is, it's a lot of energy around some of this. We kind of lose the plot. Okay. So let's think about the church for a moment. Any others outside the church that are glaring for you that you would want to share? just where it's important to have unity. I think you hit on most of the ones I put down.
Oh, did you have one?
No. Okay. What about in the church? Is it important to have unity in the church? And if so, why? Or if not, why? Yeah, so Becky referenced the passage where, you know, we're told that if you have aught with your brother or your sister, obviously, before you come and worship, right, as an example, you need to go fix that. Because the relationship that we have with each other does impact this relationship. And why would that be? Why would the relationship we have with each other impact our relationship with God? Okay, if you can't love your brother, right, who you have seen, how can you love God who you haven't seen? So there's you, this person, and God. There's your connection. But this person is connected to God too. God loves this person. God is on this person's team. God wants them to do well. God wants them to succeed. Right? And if we're doing anything or there's odds there, he's not happy about that. He needs us to work together, right? He needs the church to work together. We'll talk about that. Why else is it important? Sign. Yeah, so there's things, you know, Simon mentioned the color of the carpet, and we have to be careful that, you know, we all have opinions. And what's interesting is that, you know, sometimes we get our opinions are pretty strong, right? I mean, sometimes you have opinions on, hey, where do you want to go to lunch? I don't care. Okay, well, do you really not care? I mean, do you want to go to Waffle House? Some of you might be, yeah, I'm all over Waffle House. And others are like, no, okay, so I do care. Little. Okay? So you care a little bit, but generally you don't really care. But there might be other things that you really care. Like, you just really care. And is that wrong? That's not wrong. Right? We all have opinions, and we have some strong opinions on things. But to Cy's point, what we have to watch out for, and we're going to look at examples of this, and I don't know what all the examples are, and if there's an example you want to study in class, you can come, you know, tell me at some point here. But things like, you know, how did Cain and Abel get to the place that they got to? They're brothers. They're brothers. And one of them rises up and takes his brother's life. How do we get there as a human being? Right? How do we get there either literally or mentally, even within the church, right? Well, I'm not gonna kill anybody, you know, not in the church. Okay, well, as Cy mentioned, every little thing creates an opportunity. the color of the carpet does create an opportunity. It does create an opportunity. None of us might take it, but it creates an opportunity. Selecting elders creates an opportunity. Okay. There's a lot of things that create opportunities for things to get out of hand. And that's right, every time you walk in and you see that color of carpet, right, it's a feeling of what do we call it? It starts with an R sometimes. Resentment. Right? And we need to think about resentment. When we start resenting people or resenting, and we're told in, I think it's 1 Peter, I don't know, I shouldn't quote unless I know exactly, go, but my head says 5:8. But the devil is known as a what? A roaring lion. And if you've watched one nature show, it doesn't take many, okay, to know that what do those predators try to do? They try to separate. And when they can separate those herds and get one off by itself, and what do we do when we have resentment, right? We start to isolate. We start to pull away. We start to, you know, I'm not going to talk to that person quite as much anymore. And Satan's moving you right over here. Right? Anytime you feel yourself separating from the brethren or isolating from the brethren, that is not a good thing. God created the church for a reason. And one of those reasons is protection. He will protect us, but one of the ways he protects us is you need to be in the pack. I mean, I created this for you. I set this up. My son is the head of the church. It plays a role in your salvation, in your safety, in your growth. Right? This is part of it. Their comments, I saw a couple of hands. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, so Becky was using the example of COVID, right? Just the challenges that that brings. People have different opinions on different things around it and what we're supposed to do, right? And we've had to navigate some waters here, right? How do we first, we're outside and then we come in and, I mean, How divided is the country over this? Over a mask. Right? Now, I like to think of myself as not like a paranoid person and all of that. And, you know, there's times I go places and, I mean, I follow the law, but, you know, I don't, if I step outside my front door, I don't have this thing on every minute. But I wear it, but whether I wear it or don't, or whatever my thoughts are or don't, doesn't really matter. Just like the carpet, what we do around COVID or a mask or other things around COVID or do you get vaccinated or you don't, or, you know, there's a million things. Those are all opportunities to separate. So just little things, right? Just move us a little further away from this person, a little further away from this person. I said it before, I don't love the fact that we're in two different places, you know, for during the worship service time. Personally, I don't love that. I understand it, and it's something that, you know, I'm hoping is temporary, and, you know, we get vaccines and a whole lot of other things, and we can be. But I miss some of you. I miss seeing some of you. I miss talking to some of you. I miss worshiping with some of you. And while we're in the same physical close location, I don't hear you, I'm not with you, I don't see you. But it's our best solution, we believe, right now. Okay? And I'm not going to make a stink about it. All right? We have a lot of different considerations, and there are a lot of different considerations. It's not the point of what's right or wrong that I'm focusing on as much as everything presents an opportunity that we either move closer together or we move further apart. Look at Mark 3, 22 through 27. I actually have a lot of scriptures. I haven't used any up to this point, so apologies. But Mark 3, 22 through 27. Would someone read that? And if you're at home, you'll just have to read it to yourself. Okay, thank you. So, particularly in those verses, 22 to 27, what's Christ, what's his message there? Okay, there's weakness and division. Happens a little by little. I mean, one, they were saying, if you've healed somebody, you know, he's healed them by the power of, you know, Beelzebub or whatever. And Jesus is saying, listen, I'm not Satan, okay? You know, Satan doesn't cast out Satan. I mean, he's like, evil doesn't cast out evil. And his principle there is even with evil, right? Evil doesn't go against evil. Or it's not unified. He's like, so that can't be the answer. It's not that I'm Satan if I'm casting out Satan. Something other than Satan needs to be casting out Satan. Because he says a house what? A house divided against itself, it can't stand. And we see examples of that everywhere. All of the things that we just talked about in examples and more. Right? And sometimes it's within our own house, sometimes it's someone else's house, sometimes it's in the country, sometimes it's in the world, right? Sometimes it's in the church. But a house that's divided against itself, it can't stand. It devours itself. And I need to look at that passage, but there's a passage where it says, why do you devour one another? I mean, it's a gross image, right? I think about Christians that are, you know, they're devouring each other. They're tearing each other apart. These things ought not to be. Right? So any house that's against itself. It's setting itself up for pain. And it's setting itself up where it gets distracted. I mean, we've even seen it, right? It's really sad. And I know there are people in this room who have autoimmune disorders and autoimmune, you know, deficiencies. And where, I mean, your body starts what? It starts attacking itself. It gets a sensitivity that is so heightened. And its sensitivity is so high that it overreacts and starts attacking its own cells. And those are some of the most destructive types of things to have to deal with. Because you can't hardly figure it out. You have to try to calm that reaction down. And it literally devours itself. So those are challenges. What we do is we effectively make the church ineffective when there's division in the house. You know, the contrary is also true. When you think about many hands make what? Light work. All right? Thank you for coming back there, Tori. Appreciate you. Okay? So many hands make light work. Whenever that said, one of the images I have is Thanksgiving. So whenever Thanksgiving rolls around, and if you have ever done a big meal in the house, right, letting one person clean up after Thanksgiving meal, that's brutal. Okay? Many hands make light work. You know, people jump in. Let's help out. And we move this thing along. We get through this task together. Why is that important in the church? How does many hands make light work apply to us in the church? I mean, this is more than a Thanksgiving meal. All right, what does Jesus say? You know, he looked out and he said, the fields are what? Plenty of harvest. I mean, there's plenty. There's so much to be done. But he says what? The laborers are few. The last thing we need to be doing is cutting off laborers. Well, so it's a difference. We still have to have harmony, and we still have to work in unison. And there's a lot of passages that we'll look at that talk about, listen, we're all different members. Now, you know, I get it wrong, but, you know, you're not going to look at the toe, big toe, say the toe's not important, or the ear's not important, or the mouth's not important. But a mouth, and a toe's a toe, and, you know, they do different things. We all have different strengths. All the more reason why you don't want to get rid of your only ear. I mean, unless we're commanded to in some way, unless we have to in some way, right? And God will provide another ear. But we all have to work together, because what does Luke 19:10 tell us? Luke 19:10. Okay, so why did Jesus come? To seek and save the lost. Well, who is Jesus in relationship to the church? He's the Savior, he's the head, right? We're told he's the head of the church. His mission was to seek and save the lost. And anything that gets in our way, anything that starts to just isolate us a little bit, move us a little bit here, have a little bit of a grudge, have a little bit of resentment, lower communication just a little bit, lower a little bit of involvement, it starts to weaken the house. Right? We can think that, well, I'm not that important. Sometimes we think that not being aggressive or not saying something, that's what we think of as being a little more causing problems with unity. Pulling away and isolating and going is just as destructive. It's just as challenging. Because we need each other. Look at Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. We're here to do the Lord's work, to seek and save the lost. We don't want anything to get in the way of that. What's Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 tell us? Great, thank you. So what do we... Oh, in 11 and 12, I'm sorry, verses 11 and 12, too. Okay, thank you. So what do we learn from that? What's in this context of what we're talking about? As far as the mission of the church, as far as, you know, us being together, why is that important? Safety. I mean, strength. I mean, trials will come. You are going to be personally attacked. You are going to face personal challenges. People in your family are going to face personal challenges. Your children, your wife, your husband, your parents, whatever it might be. It could be physical, it could be financial, spiritual. I mean, this world is not, it's a rough world. It's a rough world. And we need each other. I mean, we need each other. You know, you look at that verse 12, it says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. Have you ever had to reach out to someone and ask for help? I mean, James 5:16 tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? It avails much. Have you ever needed anybody to pray for you? Let me tell you, I have. There's times in my life when I've been a mess and didn't know even how to stand up. And the only reason I'm still here today is because of the church and because of God. Didn't like the path. But at the end of the day, I'm still walking with God. And left to my own devices, I'd say, I don't know where I'd be. I know where I'd be. I'd be not in a good place. So we need each other for that reason, to help each other. I think the bell's about, it's about, what time is it? Yeah, we got 1 minute. So we'll finish some of this up. What I'd like for you to think about, where we're going to go, we're going to talk about, this is an introduction. This first part's an introduction of just getting our palate wet around the importance of unity. And why would we spend a quarter on it? And we'll look at examples of those, maybe like Cain and Abel. We'll look at Paul and Peter, and when Peter gets up from the brethren, the Gentiles, when he sees them coming, and Paul was, withstood him to the face. Why is that important? We're going to look at lots of examples that will inform our own situation. The one thing I want you to think about, most of us know 1 Corinthians 13 has to do with love. And I want us to think about 1 Corinthians 13 and think about, what does that passage read through each one of those? Love is patient. Love is kind, right? It's long suffering. And then I want you to think about unity, and I want you to think about discord. And think about what's present in unity and what's missing in discord. we find it's a heart problem, right? That we all have, that we all need to guard against if we're going to accomplish the Lord's mission. All right, thank you.